Hey gang, have you ever wanted to make a vinyl copy of maybe just one of your albums, or maybe do a short run of vinyl, maybe 1 to 50 copies? Simply because getting 200 or 100 done is just too darn expensive? Well, the people at Austin Signal can help you. Austin Signal is a high-quality recording studio and vinyl cutting facility located 15 minutes outside of Austin. In addition to traditional modern recording services, the studio also specializes in some very unique offerings, including short-run vinyl production, single-mic recording, and direct-to-disc recording. Just go to austinsignal.com, click on How Did I Get Here in their menu, or just follow the link in the text of this podcast. When you get there, enter promo code HDIGH for 10% off short-run vinyl cutting. That's right, HDIGH gets you 10% off vinyl cutting. All right, go get you some vinyl, guys. That's austinsignal.com. Let's get down. Gang, South by Southwest is coming up. You're going to need some business cards to pass out at all the parties and the shows. Well, me and Vistaprint.com can help you with that. Vistaprint allows you to make up to 500 full-color single or double-sided business cards starting at $9.99. Simply go to Vistaprint.com, order your cards, and then the offer code enter BC500. That's right, B as in boy, C500 gets you 500 cards for $9.99. That's Vistaprint.com. Start passing out your cards today. Let them know you're here. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself,
time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host, Johnny Maldi.
All right. Hello. I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys all had a great weekend, whatever it is you did this weekend. I hope I had a great weekend. I'm actually doing this the week before this intro, the week before the show comes out. I've got a lot of stuff going on. I'm going to play with Skyrocket on Friday in San Antonio. Going to Houston to do some family stuff and hang out with my girlfriend Jenna on Saturday and Sunday. Then I'm playing a Song Division gig there on Monday, not coming back till Tuesday. So I'm doing this the week before. I have a great show for you guys today. The band formerly known as the Texas KGB has changed their name and changed their whole trip, rebranded themselves Madam Radar. You can find them at madamradar.com. They've got a brand new self-titled album. It drops this Friday, February 28th. It was produced by Gordy Quist of the band of Heathens. And they're celebrating with a release show this Saturday, February 29th at the Scottish Rite Theater right here in Austin, Texas. And Gordy Quist from Band of Heathens opens the show. They have a single, Carolina, which is available now wherever it is you stream and download your jams. And you can find them at madamradar.com. All right, so I've been friends with these guys for a few years. Since they were the Texas KGB, I've watched them grow, tour around, do their thing. They've actually won 2 Black Fret grants. They actually just won this last one. They decided to take that money, rebrand their thing, go into the studio with Gordy Quist, and make a record. So Madam Radar was born in December, and their debut self-titled album drops this Friday. We have a great conversation. Their bass player, Violet, has an intimidating vibe that I respond to by being intimidated by her. And we actually had a great connection on the show. And she ended up writing me on Instagram and saying like, hey, glad we're bros. I say, hey, glad we're bros too. All right. So without further ado, please enjoy my conversation with Kelly, Jace, Cody, and Violet. Formerly Texas KGB, now Madam Radar. Let's get down. Man, you guys, I just realized you won 2 Black Fret awards.
Yeah.
Dose.
Yeah.
No wonder you're off on vacations in the mountains.
Yeah.
I'm just joking. Well, no wonder you made a record and you were able to sort of like do whatever, because I know that must cost a lot, getting a new website,
dude,
domain.
Oh my God.
We're lucky because Cody dates this really great graphic designer. She does a lot of work for, some concert series and stuff around town. And she did a great job doing our website and also our entire album. It looks so good. I can't wait to share it with people.
Excellent. Are you guys putting it out on vinyl?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Right on.
After it gets released on.
Yeah, we're going to do like a release like 6 months after.
Okay.
Yeah.
A little special release.
Yeah.
And Caroline, it's
there's Carolina.
Carolina, sorry.
Yeah.
I have a song called Caroline. What a jerk.
Let's just talk about me for a minute.
You guys ever heard my song Caroline?
No. No, I haven't. I want to now.
Carolina. You have a lyric video for that. Is that also, I didn't look on Spotify. It's available on Spotify. Is that your first single?
That is our first single.
So this is going to come out like the Tuesday before the record comes out. So people can go and hear. Are you going to release another single or no? Just drop the record.
We'll probably just drop the record, but I don't know, man. We do weird shit. I don't know.
You do? Well, you guys did a great job on the record.
It is amazing.
Like, fantastic job, yeah.
It's amazing. No, Gordy Quist and Steve Christensen really brought it together. You know, we had all these great ideas and...
The Houston guy?
Yeah. He's...
I don't know him, but I get a lot of his work through here.
Yeah, he's... So fun to work with.
Really efficient and a hilarious guy. Really good at keeping you focused, but also keeping the vibe just really friendly and fun and upbeat and just moving forward.
But he's also got a great ear just to, like, when you're singing, it's like, that was spot on. Do that again. Or, you know, it's like,
afraid to tell you if it wasn't your best take.
Yeah, it was actually really helpful because sometimes you're not sure. You're going to judge everything you do.
Right.
And to have someone go, no. That's rock and roll.
Or you guys had to do more than one take? That's just sad. I'm professional.
Is that you playing piano?
No, I do not have that.
Who
talent.
Is the person?
That's Trevor from the Band of Heathens, actually. Trevor
Oh,
Nealon.
Really?
Yeah.
So that ballad song, he played piano on that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's my song, but...
Yeah.
Is that supposed a great to be a song. Surprise?
Oh no, that's okay. We're letting everything go
is
right
that
here.
Bad?
No, we've not told anyone yet. So you heard it here
exclusive.
First.
Yeah,
we did One More Time is a song we've had for years. Jace wrote it probably 10 years ago or something, and it's always been a fan favorite. And Jace's dad especially has a special place for this song in his heart. And every time we played it live, he's like, you know, I love this. It's so great. But I just wish
when are you going to record it right?
You would just, you know, it's like a, you know, it's a sweet song. So this album, we were like, you know what? Let's give the people the version they've wanted to hear.
Yeah.
And it's something, you know, we can't necessarily do live, but I think it's a special moment on the album.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a beautiful moment. You're playing like guitar. You know,
actually, I'm not playing guitar on that. Gordy Quist played the solo on that. That's the only song.
Is that the secret of Madame Radar? Is just that a bunch of people come in and play?
We shared a lot.
Well, you know,
we're actually not even on the album.
That song. Right. we're going to do that for our next album. We're not going to play on anything. No.
Well, there's a thing where the Fastball was just in here, and there's a couple songs on their album that only Miles is on, and there's other dudes playing.
Sometimes it's like what's best for the song, and in that moment. You know, I tried a few solos and I was like, you know, this just like, I feel like I'm overplaying and it's so gentle and so sweet. And Gordy was like, well, maybe try something like this. And I was like, whoa, stop right there. Like, try something. You're doing it. You're nailing it. And how great would it be to have, you know, backstory. I saw Gordy Quist when I was 18 years old at the Masquerade in Atlanta, opening up for JJ Gray and Mofro. And I was so excited to see JJ Gray. My friend and I had like our arms on the stage. We're like ready to go. And so we stood through their entire show, and I remember going, wow, like, this is really good. And that's 11 years ago.
Yeah.
But it was so great. And to then, you know, fast forward to now, be able to work with him, it was like, you know, he's kind of one of my heroes. I remember seeing him do this thing forever ago, and I was, you know, treasured that memory. So it was like, man, to have, you know, one of my personal heroes on our album, and, you know, that fact that he produced the entire thing, it was a special moment.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's like the best part of this is you have these people you look up to and one day you're like
in the room with them.
Yeah.
Sharing.
Hey, Gordy, should I cut that again? You know what I mean? Like, you know, you were this person and then you're like, yeah, that's fucking amazing.
Yeah. We were at Gordy's house and he was making us old fashions. And I just looked at the guys like, is this happening right now?
Yeah.
You know, and in his mind, he's just like, what's up, guys? You know, and I'm just like.
And he lives here, right?
Yeah.
He's the only one that lives here of those guys.
As
right?
I believe so,
I believe so.
He's been on the show. I've had all of them on in different things. I'm pretty sure I've had him on. But it must have been years ago. Sorry.
He's actually doing our he'll be at our CD release opening up the show.
I saw that.
He's doing a special kind of never before seen kind of thing also, so it'll be a...
So you guys are doing your release show at the Scottish Rite Theater.
Yes.
That is a cool place.
Saturday.
February 29th.
Saturday, February 29th, the day after the album comes out.
Leap day.
And this will come out the Tuesday before that. Is that cool?
Mm-hmm.
Or
yeah.
Do you want it to come
no,
out
that's
before
fine. That? Okay. That's perfect. Great.
I've reserved that day for your release.
Yay. Yes. You're awesome.
Well, I didn't want to put it out the same day as your album because no one would listen to
yeah.
the show. No, but also it gives people a couple of days to hear it, you know, and do the thing. Yeah. Anyway, outside of that, so great job on the record. The other thing, can I go into the record?
Yeah.
Shoot.
Okay. The first song, Friend of a Friend. When I first saw you guys play live and I saw you guys all sing, I don't know if I ever said this. I was like, man, this should be almost like a Sly and the Family Stone band where there's songs where everybody takes a part. And what a great way to open the record.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, that was Violet's idea. She came up with the music, and then she let us. She had the hook already for the chorus, and she was like, you know, I kind of want you guys to participate. Let's all write our own lines. And
yeah.
We sat down actually with Gordy around his table at his house, and we went back and forth, kind of going like, what do we want this to be? Like, how do we represent ourselves a little bit, but also like make the theme of the song come alive? And that's really a song for our fans. But yeah, Violet killed that.
Yeah. I like that's like one of my favorite things of like the early Jackson 5 songs and stuff. You know what I mean? Where they'd all sing.
Yeah, that trade off.
Yeah, it's just cool. It has a family vibe to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So cool. How did you come up with that? What made you think of that?
I'm just trying to write more songs I approach my songwriting now as what would this sound like with Madam Radar doing it? And that's what the mindset I put myself into before I write the song. Like Carolina was kind of the same way. I just heard us doing that like as a group. Like I heard the vocal, the chorus and the harmonies. And so I sat down and was like, okay, how can I make a song that sounds like us? Cause our previous albums are kind of like, and even a few of the songs on this, like everybody, we have our own very distinct songwriting styles.
Right.
And so, it's a Jay song, it's Kelly song,
right.
It's a Violet song. So I just really want to kind of start doing more writing together, writing for the whole band. So you can't really tell who wrote what.
Right.
That's exactly. Our goal is to just write more together and make it more of a band project. You know, some of my favorite bands like the Eagles or Fleetwood Mac or, the Beatles, they just multiple singers but it still felt like that group. And we are looking forward to especially our next album after this one and just really, finding our sound.
Yeah, man. It's funny that you mentioned the Mac because there is a lot of backing vocals, Rumors style that I think is just awesome. You guys do it so well.
Yeah, I really
love. And that's
love.
All of you guys singing around a mic?
Yeah. Yeah, we actually sat in a room together and we just did it until we got it right.
I think that's the only way you can make it sound that great. Yeah. You know
what
I mean?
We wanted a live feel too. That was something that people were like, wow, your albums are great, but your live show just blows me away. Like, how can you capture that? And it was like, God, I don't know, unless, you record it live. And even then, sometimes the magic, just whatever energy is in the room that night doesn't come through in the recording. So we try to do our best just to go, let's do this together like we would be doing it live, and let's just sing it over and over and over until we get that energy is we're bouncing off each other. And I think we really captured some cool stuff.
So you guys cut it live as a band?
Yeah. Right?
That's awesome. How did you do it? Were you facing each other? What was the situation?
No, we were actually in different rooms.
Two of us, Violet and I, were usually in the same room facing each other. Jace was usually in the back room with the acoustic, or whoever was singing lead was usually in the isolation booth,
the
playing and singing.
Yeah.
The isolation booth. That's such a sad name.
Sounds like you're in trouble.
Solitary confinement booth.
Do you ever have when you're the only person, because all of you guys sing, say you're the person in there singing, right? And you're singing and you see through the glass when you're in the isolation booth, all the rest of the band and the producer guy and the engineer, and they don't push the talk back button and you finish singing, they're like,
that is the
that's one of my least favorite
were you saying? I need to know
that. Yeah, that is literally one of my least favorite, that feeling of
they're
seeing,
just like, oh, do you
want
to get some tacos, I'm kind of hungry, but all you hear is like, she's
that
the worst singer of all time.
That'd be
we're never gonna finish this album.
That'd be a great SNL skit, like if the singer's looking and they're just like making disgusted faces. They're like, hey, great take, dude. You know, like the whole time it's like, what?
Or what about this, like, they're doing it and you're like, hey, and they go, hang on a second, Johnny.
Johnny signals in the air, something's not right.
They're all in there talking about you. Yeah. Oh God. Anyway, okay, so you cut it live as a band. You guys, how many shows do you play a year?
We're doing less this year, but you know, God, this sounds wrong. I want to say better quality shows because I feel like every show has been great for what it's been. But
you guys were like on the Chitlin circuit.
Yeah,
like
we were, you know, every small town.
You know what I mean?
You know what the Madam Radar story is? We've played everything from the hot dog cart to Moody Theater. It's like, but we finally established a really good show, and you know. That's what we want to put on. We want to put on our show.
That's
covers
cool.
are fun. You know, we might throw one in every once in a while, but it's like we you know, there's four songwriters, three main songwriters, but you know, we all
contribute.
Yeah, we all contribute, and it's like, man. And as much as I love playing some other songs that inspire me, it's like, well, we have a lot to say, and let's do it. You know.
Yeah, and I noticed that you took, because you're all professional musicians and you make money playing music. You all do stuff. You were doing something, wasn't it, on Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
Did you play somewhere?
Saturday. I played out in Bastrop. We're doing, just through the wintertime now, it's sometimes gigs can be a little more scarce.
Yes.
So it's like you just take whatever's
January,
out there,
February so. Are typically slow. So next year, if someone wants to just, you know.
Do house parties.
Yeah.
Or get out of town.
Yeah. Last Tuesday, I was in a conference room in BP writing a song about getting their zing back in their sales. With like Marge from
That's
accounting.
Kind of cool.
Yeah, it's a little weird. Yeah, January
Tell me
scares.
More about profit margins, Marge.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like I'm like January and February look slow, and then I go into March and I'm already like trying to not triple up on some days. I'm like, oh man, it's feast or famine sometime, you know?
Right. Did you guys get accepted to South By?
We have a hold. They basically are like, you're being considered. We'll get back to you. And that's the last we heard. So they haven't told us no. Last year we got the official, sorry, we have a lot of people apply. You did not make the
Is that what they say?
They give you an official.
Due to the high
like,
volume of
it's a,
okay.
it's a nice,
applicants.
You know, yeah. thought out email. But this year they were like, oh, we're very
you're
interested.
In. What else do you have to tell us
can
that
you,
can
wait
dictate?
A, yeah, so now we're just like, I don't know. You know what? Unless it's official, we just really don't care to do it.
We should go to Matt and...
Our buddies from
Matt
Black
and Colin and be like, hey, just give us the 40 grand right now. We're just going to... Hey, what have you guys been up to? We've been up to this,
Thank
brother.
You.
Now put us in the festival. Like you drop it in cash on their thing.
Right.
Sorry.
Just like we're all in suits. I had a cigar for no reason.
For people that are listening, say, and like they've heard of Black Fret, they know people get money. It's not like that you can just go ask Matt and Colin for
no, and you know what? And a lot of people do think that because I have, you know, people that I've known throughout life that are like, hey, my water heater broke. Do you got any?
I heard you guys got that grant.
Yeah, like, so it's like, you know, it doesn't work that way. And actually, I kind of love the way that it does work because basically what happens is, you know, you have so much money and you have to unlock it either through playing charity shows or writing new songs, or there's a handful of things you can do to unlock your grants. And depending on if it's like a charity show, you make more money versus if you just turn in like a piece of paper that says you wrote something, it's only so much.
Right.
So it kind of encourages you to get more involved in your community, and we've
more active with your music.
Yeah,
and that way you like she said, you unlock it. So it's
yeah. So
it's
you used it to make this record. You were
no,
able.
No, actually, we saved our money from last year. We're going to use part of it for we're doing a music video for Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah, we did a lyric video, but just so people can learn the words and sing along.
Right.
But we're doing an official video probably at the end of this month, and that'll be released probably sometime in March. But.
We actually fan-sourced to make this album.
Yeah.
Which is
yeah,
really
we never
cool.
set up a GoFundMe or anything. We just had a lot of people...
Who truly believe in what we're trying to put together, and they helped out.
Yeah. We raised over $15,000.
Fuck, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Without having to ask for it.
It was really like... And I'm...
Very, very
thank
kind,
you
generous
to everybody.
People,
like, everybody say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank
yeah.
you. Because, I mean, our fans really made this possible. And we got to go into a studio... That you know, we were excited to work in with people we were excited to work with, and we came up with an incredible product. And you know, that's because of our fans. And now we get to give them that gift back. So it's really a great give and take.
Yes.
Yeah,
they're each going to get a free sticker.
Well, don't make promise. That's
oh, you're right. That's maybe not a discounted.
You know, cards.
I mean, I'm so 50%
off. 10% off stickers.
Take some extra of my stickers and include it in yours. Like, give them a bundle.
All right, yeah.
Like, they'll get two stickers too. That's amazing. And so you did. How long did it take you to make the record?
We were in there about 2 weeks, and then
it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And then we just had like a few months of back and forth, like just going over mixes and like a few like mastering things that we had to fix, and like just a couple times, like maybe 1 or 2 days that we went back into the studio after those initial 2 weeks.
How is it working now, like since you've made the record? Because I'm assuming you made it a couple months ago or something.
Well, we made it a year and a month ago.
Okay.
Yeah, so we've been sitting on it for a while.
So you've been working on these new songs and writing as a band. Has that become more, I mean, like where are you guys at with material for Madam Radar 2?
So many new songs now.
Yeah, we already have at least 40 minutes worth of like just like stuff that's almost like show ready. That we've been
that's
putting
awesome.
Together lately.
Yeah.
At the CD release, people are going to see
we're going to perform the whole album, and we have a couple new songs, and then we're going to throw in some fun stuff, and we have some special guests joining us. So
you can't tell you're going
to. Well, can we tell? I don't know. We're going to have. Well, just joining us musically, okay.
Yeah.
We have Alex Geismer is going to be on percussion.
That's nice.
From Vallejo.
Oh, yeah.
And Crystal Finger, Jay Styles.
I never knew Alex's last name.
Really?
Yeah.
The Geismer.
I swear to God, I've never known it. And I've been wasted with that.
He always assumed it was Vallejo.
You wouldn't, right?
Alex,
no, sorry. So you have him and who else? Sorry?
And Crystal Finger, Jay Styles on keys.
Yeah, yeah.
So. Yeah, it's going to be a good time.
This is exciting.
Yeah, we want to kind of replicate the album somewhat. So it'll be a show no one's ever seen before. Yeah,
Madam Radar style.
Yeah.
So this is, you guys have been inventing the show.
Yeah, we're actually, after this, yourselves. We're going to a rehearsal. We're doing rehearsals every week leading up because we're going to maybe even put in some dance moves. I don't know. That's happening.
What?
Some choreography. Get ready.
Violet doesn't look very choreography.
It's her idea.
Oh,
I just. This one was, I don't want people to expect anything like.
No, they're gonna like. That. So we're gonna make some pyramids
after
and lots of flips.
You know, have you guys ever seen like video of like Earth, Wind, and Fire or like Parliament Funkadelic from the thing? They would come in like
crazy.
Fucking spaceships.
Yeah.
And shit. Like in the '70s, like a spaceship.
Well, who told you our intro? Like, what? Who told you about our intro?
Well, she said the pyramids. So, are those backdrop things at Scottish? I've only done one thing there.
They're so cool. They have
there.
Like a 50 something or 48 or I don't know how many. They have
a
like
huge collection.
They have a huge collection of backdrops. And
what a cool thing to do it there.
Yeah, we actually, I sent all of the options to the band and I was like, all right, pick your top five. And we collectively... Like
did not
one,
pick mine.
No, we didn't pick it, but we collectively kind
of
like.
Was it the cross?
No.
Which one did you pick?
The one that looked like hell.
Yeah. But the bus was in the back. I was like, the bus stop is kind of like hell.
What made you choose that venue?
We've seen a couple shows there. We got to see the Greyhounds play
like,
there.
We went back and forth on venues, and what we came to is like, what venue are our fans gonna like? And they like seating. They like listening.
They like parking.
They like an open bar. So we're doing. We teamed up with Concerts
for
Austin.
You bring in your own bar.
No, I mean, there's we have alcohol provided by
nice.
Iron Wolf Ranch and Distilleries and Independence Brewing.
Wow.
Yeah. And they all receive, depending on if they get the VIP or just general admission, like signed posters, CDs.
You get goodies, people,
yeah,
so
right.
Tickets are going fast.
I didn't write down the thing about the four charities.
Yeah, so
talk about that.
Well, we're working with Concerts for Austin Charities, which is an amazing organization. We do a lot of work with them. And that means this show will benefit HAM, Step Onward Foundation, and Superhero Kids.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so we're going to raise some money for charity and put on a really great show.
That's awesome.
It's a good cause, man.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful theater, so everyone will be really comfortable. It'll sound good, and we're ready for it.
Fuck, man. I'm excited for you guys.
Dude,
I'm very happy because I know that when you're slugging it out and you're kind of doing a circle, it's hard to sort of stop and reinvent yourself. It is. I've been in that situation where like I had someone say to me like, just stop fucking playing for 6 months. No one's going to care. Like, not that no one's going to care, but like they're going to be a lot happier to see a new person with new songs as opposed to a guy that is playing so much that it's kind of like more about getting the money to live the thing, and then you're playing all these three set shows that are taking you out of sort of being a concert band.
Yeah, we do this full time, and there's always that little, you know, piece of you that's scared to go, okay, we're going to
go for it.
Well, A, when, you know, we just kind of, I think maybe it was even Violet or Gordy, I'm not sure who brought it up initially.
It was Gordy.
But we kind of were like, that the name change was kind of put in question, and it was both like, oh my God, how are we going to do this? But then it's like, the more I thought about it, it's like, wow, we've been a band, you know, since 2014.
Right.
And at that point, we had a complete, like, Cody wasn't even in the band then. So it's like, and then when Cody joined, he played tambourine and then saxophone and then was on drums.
Right.
I mean, we had, you know, different bass players and all this. And then when Violet joined, you know, over 3 years ago, it's like, we really changed our vision and our image and our sound. And it was like, why are we holding on to this name? It's really not the same band. It's just because the name had felt established. So it was like, okay, we got to go with this. But it was like, we already had people like, do you want to tell the story about your sister?
Well, it's just one of many like little things, but my sister, she works at HEB, and she had one of our pins on one day, and she was like checking somebody out, and this guy just went off on her about the KGB and all this stuff, and she was like, it's just a band, and he was like, why are you letting, you know, representing your blah blah, and it was just like, it's kind of controversial, really, you know, and you don't mean for it to be.
Yeah, and we were just like, you know what, we don't want to make something that's already hard to sell harder to sell, you know, just like, just being in the music business and trying to get your stuff out there. For anyone to go, oh, that's already one reason I don't need to hear it, because the name isn't going to work in my places that I'm, you know, selling to. So I was like, okay, what's time out? Let's come up with some names. So we
That's always a fun process.
We went through like 500 names. For months we went on this, and it was like, what are we going to do? And we were kind of using, you know, since it was, you know, Gordy's idea, we were going, hey, like, we want you to kind of help us figure out what's going on. And we thought we came up with some cool stuff, and he'd be like, it's okay. Doesn't really sparkle. We're like, oh my God, we all agreed on that. Ah! So he was like, just keep writing names down. Just keep writing names down. And
we should. You want to hear a list of potential names?
Please.
Oh my God.
You know, that's the best part of that Motley Crue movie, by the way, is when they're trying to think of the name. Like, to me, that's my very favorite part of that movie. Go ahead.
Okay. The Wildlife, wild spelled with a Y. I don't know why that's a thing. The Wildlife spelled regularly. Velvet Feathers.
Oh,
the Wild
good.
Sky Skies. What news was that? Mr. Scissors.
That was mine.
We were almost Mama Kisser.
We were almost
very
Mama
real
Kisser.
Because after a show, I know, and that's the look. We were like, but after one of our shows, one of our very dear fans was like making out with my mom, and we were like, Mama Kisser. And it became like a band joke. And my mom looked at me, she was like, you do not fucking name your band. Like, I love you, but if you name your band.
Well, it was funny because Kelly, like, she was telling me about it the next day, and she was like, yeah. I was like, what happened? Like, and she was like, yeah, he made out with my mom. Fucking Mama Kisser. And I was like, that could be a name for a band. Like, Mama Kisser.
It's a good name for a song.
Oh, man. So, but needless to say, we did not go with that.
Yeah.
There's so many bad things
bitch,
on here.
All capital letters with an exclamation
bitch,
point.
Bitch, exclamation point. We were thinking for a minute.
So Madame Radar, Gordy was on this, like, he was like Evil Olive, kind of like palindrome type thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yo, Banana Boy.
And I went through like 3 hours worth of palindromes, like mixing stuff together. And finally, I just like, I really liked Madame and I liked Radar and I thought they sounded cool together. And I like sent it to the group, and it was like, oh, no one kind of really like hit it at first.
That's
like
a good feeling too,
well,
isn't
but it? Kept making its way to the top of our top three.
So it was like, it wasn't like their number one, but it was like, if we did a top five, it would be somewhere in there. And all of a sudden it was like, it kept, you know, reoccurring. And finally we were like, why don't we just do this? This is cool. Like, when you look at, like, for logos and the balance of it and the fact it's kind of masculine and feminine.
And it was like pretty much the only one that all four of us kept putting on the list.
But we took it to Gordy, and he was just like, eh.
You get to say Mad Rad for sure. It's like, hey, Mad Rad's coming
Rad
downtown,
is
which
a,
is cool.
Another band, so we were like, we couldn't just go with that.
Right,
so we were like, ah, like, you know. But then we were like, finally, we just kind of like told it to some of our other fans, and some people were like, oh man, that is really awesome, love it. And some people were like, you're always the Texas KGB to me. And, you know, so we were like, okay, what are we gonna do? And finally we were just like, let's do it, we want it, we like it. And at some point all these people have followed us on this journey because they believe in what we're doing. So why are we gonna ask them what they want us, because they want us to tell them what we're doing. You know, they don't want to be asked, they don't, you know. It's like, some people maybe, but 99.9% of them are just, they want to go, okay, what are we doing now?
Yeah.
And so we were like, okay, and we finally told Gordy, we're like, no, we love this. And he was like, that's what I wanted. I wanted you to like stand up for a name, basically. And yeah. I was like, oh.
Cool.
Yeah.
Because you know what?
You got to stand behind it.
Yeah. But there was like 6 months, I think.
Worth
yeah,
of, like, it took about 6 months realistically to go through an entire.
Yeah.
And that's with logos and coming out with everything to make sure that we could push it.
Yeah. Violet actually came up with the official logo and then Sydney tightened it up and made it look really good. But I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't know, maybe something like this. And I was like, that's perfect.
It looks good. And I like it. I mean, I've seen you guys work really hard and really slug it out in a way that like you can see now that like, oh, okay, now we kind of need to stop just kind of.
This album's going to have like a 12-page booklet that has just a lot of extra information and lyrics. And
really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, actually, awesome. Cody came up with a great idea. Well, some of our fans were like, you know, I'd really appreciate it if you put the lyrics in there. I want to know what you're saying. And we were like, okay. And then Cody was like, well, why don't we put our chords in there too? So we wrote it out like almost like, you know,
tab music or whatever.
Like she, and so now our fans, when they listen to it, they can actually play along.
That's rad.
Yeah.
That is totally
mad rad.
That is mad rad. Jules Shear did that on a record of his that came out in like 1989 or something. I can't remember what it's called, but I know the first thing I did was I played along with that whole record.
Yeah.
Like listening to it the first time. That's awesome.
Yeah,
I'm going to play along with
you. Yeah, we have a lot of fans that are musicians, you know, that are always like, oh, and we actually, we have like a weird little following like in France, and we have people that are covering songs off Welcome Home, and I think that's so cool.
I think that's
badass. That they took the time to figure it out, but now I'm like, oh man, listen to this album and just play with it, you know?
Have you guys gone there?
No, we just, people find you through the internet, you know, through weird things, what's and they the share internet? It with their friends. And
hold
it's
on,
like,
what's the internet?
Stop, you're on Instagram now. You can't say that anymore.
You could do that before when your hair was longer.
Yeah. Now you look like he didn't own a cell phone. He refused.
I'm a simple caveman. These concepts of communication through satellites doesn't get me.
It confuses me.
Yeah, what did you say on you made like your first post or something? You're like, hi, low, outer space or something. Oh, yeah.
Close. Or
what did you say? It was
greetings, solar system.
Yeah.
All right.
It's out there everywhere. By the way, I forgot to tell you guys, I got one of those Google Nests, and you're supposed to tell your friends when they come over, like, hey, sorry, they're recording everything you say.
Oh,
well, maybe Madam Radar is going to start.
Hey, Madam Radar.
It's going to trend now.
Did you mention MadamRadar.com?
Madam Radar.
Or
MadamRadar.com.
Shouting it randomly.
Also, you can check us out on Facebook at Madam Radar Music or on Instagram at Madam Radar Music.
How was that to do? Because I like, okay, you guys see how my apartment's different? Let me tell you something. I hate changing my shit so much, like my thing, that I will move every fucking thing in this house into a cubicle and live in a trailer for 2 weeks just so I didn't have to change my driver's license. I'm not joking. I am not joking.
I don't blame you. The DMV can be a terrible place to visit.
But I mean, that's how much I hate changing stuff. How much you had to get a new website, a new domain name, you had to change
it. It was
your Instagram.
Overwhelming. There was, especially the night we did it, we announced it at Moody Theater, at the Black Ball, and it was like, we couldn't change it before then because we didn't want people to know what it was. You know, we wanted to have our announcement and make it like a special thing. But then we realized like, oh no, now we've said it. And if we don't immediately do this, someone could be like, huh, I own this now. So it was like this like terrifying.
Oh,
we owned the website at that point. Right. And it was like, you know, just people didn't know where to look. But when we said it out loud, I immediately went back and boom, got Instagram. So easy. And then Facebook was like denied. Like within a minute, they were like, sorry, you're denied. And I was like, oh my God, what? And I had to like, for like, I think a week and a half or 2 weeks go back and forth on why, and they were like, well, we need some articles that, you know, if you're really going through a rebrand, and I had stuff from the Statesman and like all these things that had done, you know, so I had everything. I was like, here's pictures of
they
us
really
on stage.
Shake you down like that for
dude,
a rebrand?
Dude, I'm just like, you are a stupid made up thing.
Right.
And
you're a social media website.
They were made up by people that had no friends.
Right. So I'm like, what? And it made me just want to quit the internet. I was like, I don't need this in my life, you know? But it's like, it's a necessary evil for what we do.
Yeah.
And there's times that I hate it because I'm one of those people that I don't use my phone if I'm having a real life conversation.
Yeah.
But if I'm going down the road or it's like, if you try to talk to me while I'm doing stuff, it's like, guess what? I'm like, hi. Yeah. Like you have to wait until I'm done because it's like, you know, we do play just enough shows and we're trying to always get people on different things and in different parts of wherever we are. It's like just constant promoting.
Yeah.
Constant inviting people, constantly, you know, sharing pictures and, you know, thanking photographers. And it's just like,
you guys are good at that. I think I enjoy
your stories, but that is a job in itself, you know.
You do a lot of driving, by the way, Cody.
No, actually, Chase does all the driving.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of it.
Why are you, what are you doing, then? I do a lot.
I mean, so passenger seat mostly. Navigator, like, man. Yeah, if we're on like a road trip, we'll all cycle out driving like every 3 hours. And yeah, we're sitting together, so I'm behind the wheel a lot when she's there.
Yeah. Okay.
Got to make sure someone's there to punch the driver in the arm if he's falling asleep.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Are you good at that?
We have a very specific system when we do long road trips. There's like a driver, a navigator, someone in the bench seat, and then someone on the bed. And whoever's on the bed drives next. And then from the driver, you switch to the navigator because you've already been alert.
Yeah.
You kind of know where you're at, what's going on. So then once you navigate, then you can sit down and relax, and then you get to lay down. And we just rotate like every 150 miles through. When you carry all of your gear and your four favorite people, it's like there's no time to, you know. I always feel bad for bands that are like, oh, I have to do all the driving. I'm like, man, that sucks because it's dangerous after a while. Your brain, you know, there's times that I'll be driving. If it's by myself for a long time, then all of a sudden I'm like in a daydream and I'm like 20 miles later, I'm like, and my body's like operating the vehicle, but it's like on big road
trips. They say that's actually like, hypnosis.
That happened to me on Thursday. I was talking on the phone. My girlfriend was like, where are you? And I was like, I don't recognize anything around me.
You get out too far past like Bastrop or everything Spicewood, everything's just kind of like, oh my God, where am I? It's all Hilka.
I play in Houston so much that like my biggest fear is that I'm gonna forget to get off on 71.
Dude, you guys are like killing it.
Who?
You?
Me?
Your bands? Yeah, you're doing great.
We've worked hard for a long time.
Yeah, but it's nice to see you just like, you know, selling out shows and playing awesome venues, and that's really cool.
That's funny. Thank you. Yeah. Because we're extra excited about Austin because we started out doing these real cool shows like at Antone's and shit that sold out. And the last time, we hadn't sold out a show in 13 years in Austin. In Houston and San Antonio, But like here, we couldn't get arrested. And so we did the same Adam Radar. We stopped playing all of the Cedar Streets and all of this for $7 and $10. And we were like, fuck it. Let's play four times a year, twice at 310, twice at Antone's. Well, and so far, so good.
Thank you. There's something about like, I don't want to say taking yourself seriously, or but just going, where do I want to see myself? Okay,
exactly.
I'm not going to settle for anything less than that.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of supply and demand, too. You know, you're a little out of demand. People are out of supply. I guess people are going to want you a little more, be willing to pay a little more for you.
Yeah. And we provide a good thing, and other people do it in other places. And Austin is the hardest hump to get over.
Yeah.
Just because there's so much going on all the time.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on. But real quick, before I forget, did you write Eruption?
Yes.
By Van Halen? No, I'm just kidding. That's a cool tune, man.
Thanks.
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wrote that like back when I was in college. I had a lot of anger. I wrote a lot of anger.
That's what I was going to ask you. It has a sort of like you're known for being the tough one in the band, I think, right?
Yep.
And an avid volcano enthusiast.
That's a nice way to put it.
Yes, avid volcano enthusiast and the tough one in the band, sort of like you were the last one that I felt comfortable around because I didn't want to piss you off and I was scared that could happen.
She's very tall.
You're tall.
It's intimidating.
But you also are very stoic and there's like you don't suffer fools. Mm. I don't think.
Nice.
And I'm a fucking fool. it gets scary.
If I get to know you and I like you, you're in. But it takes me a very long time to let people into that.
It's been a couple years to add you to my house.
Yeah. Well, I hope I don't still make you feel that way.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
Sorry. Maybe in a couple more years.
No, it's totally not you. It's me. I get intimidated by someone and it's hard for me. You know Brandon Temple?
Yeah.
I spent like, 14 years like, when he I was just so scared. I thought his shyness was that he just hated me. But it turned out that he really liked me. And that was weird. So now I'm fine with that. So I'm fine with you now. Now, am I red? I feel like I turned red.
No, I think she's just like,
intimidating.
I don't know. Because now, like, you know, I don't want people to, like, try to, like, fuck with me because it's like, oh, well, you're the intimidating one.
No.
Because it's not.
There's something.
She's just very certain, you know, that it's like, it's. I don't know.
Are you a Sonic Youth fan? Everyone's full of shit.
Sonic Youth? Okay. Kim Gordon from that band. Just, it's a cool rock. It's like you're like Lou Reed or something.
You know,
it's the guy that's so cool that, like, you're like, oh my god, I hope that person likes me because that's a cool. You know what I mean? Aww. I think you're real cool.
Thanks.
That's why.
Well, I think you're cool too. I didn't ever mean to make you feel.
I'm gonna have to start editing this show. I made it so weird. I'm sorry. Eruption is a great song.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
You evil bitch.
No, I never thought you were evil. Don't get me wrong. All right, so now you guys are doing this show at Scottish Rite. You're still doing some one-to-one. That's a great room
to
play.
Yeah, you know, we've kept our residency there because it's actually turned into a really great Monday. And funny enough, like,
start going back to that.
The first time the first couple weeks we did it, I think it was, like, my mom and my dad on our first time. It was just my mom and my dad in the audience. And I was like, this is so lame. And I felt like, what am I even doing here? But we were just like, we just kept doing it.
But the room was cool.
The room was cool. Kurt is an amazing sound guy. Lauren is an amazing bartender.
Yeah.
Greg and Destiny are incredible owners.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, and they were so sweet that they weren't like, hey, you're not welcome back because, you know, hey, thanks, mom and dad, for paying to get in. But, like, you know, it was just an awkward show. And from there, it's like, we've actually made money on Mondays. And it's like,
that's great.
I look out now and I'm like, I see people, you know, and I'm like,
people
we've
never seen.
People we've never seen, but also, like, a really great fan base that we've started to build. And it's like, it's one of those. At first it was like, is this going to be able to last? And then it turned into, wow, this is really helping us gauge, like, where we are, you know, in Austin right now.
Right.
And it's been awesome. We have a blast. We always have a ton of special guests. You should join us.
I'd love to.
Oh, thank you.
You should totally join us.
Okay. Now.
Join us.
We used to do the 10 o'clock spot, right?
Yeah, we used to do the 10 o'clock, which was harder to get people into.
One of my favorite stories of when we were doing the 10 o'clock spots is one time, one Monday, we thought it was a great idea to go out on the boat with Omar, knowing that we'd had the 10 o'clock spot that night.
Knowing that Omar was going to be on it.
Let's just say two of the four of us fell off a boat. I'll let you decide which two.
And then I just remember coming home so drunk and just passing out, and my boyfriend waking me up and going, don't you have a show in 15? It was like 9. It was like 9:40. And he was like, aren't you supposed to be playing? And I was like, yes. Like, oh, my gosh.
I was the other one that fell off the boat. I was so drunk that when we got home, I immediately went into the shower, threw all my clothes off, and sobbed in the tub for an hour. And then threw a towel on and ran in my room and jumped on my bed and landed right on my girlfriend's laptop and shattered the screen. And she walks in the room because she was downstairs, and I was like, I'm sorry, I broke your laptop. And then I just passed out, just like moaning, just like, oh, God. And then we had to play after that.
We had been drinking whiskey.
It was
whiskey
not a bad show either.
I was doing rum and coke.
It was just a bottle of rum.
Well, we were listening to our album. We were celebrating. Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, we had just put out Welcome Home at that point, I guess. Yeah. Anytime you're with Omar.
Yes. You don't have to tell me.
Dude.
And then he gets up to play golf at 6 a.m. after that. I don't know how he does crazy, it.
That's crazy. I hate those guys that do.
I am also not a pussy, and I made it to the show on time.
Jace, you're full on, like, you're ex-military.
Yeah.
Former military, is that how you say that? How do you say that?
Everyone say it.
Drop it, give me 25.
But I'm not in it anymore, so that's definitely.
No. You're in the cult.
There's a
you're
lot
like,
of camo now,
us.
Though.
Join us.
I would love to join you guys, and I love that place, and I like seeing you guys there. Real quick, I know that Madam Radar, this is a big thing. You guys have this brand new album coming out. You got your big release show coming out February 29th. But you all also do individual music things. You have the new band with the ladies?
Yeah, that's just like a...
Just a good time?
Just a fun. We do that all, like, pretty much every Monday. See boys 6:30 to 8:30. It's a pack girl jam.
I think that's pretty badass, by the way. I just had Andrea in here. I met her for the first time.
Yeah, there is a bunch of, you know, amazing women.
Yeah.
You know, they're all from different bands.
Who else is in it?
Paige Tachowski, Amanda Darnell, who plays with Ruby Dice, Carrie Hudson from Carrie Hudson and Good Company. And then me.
Yeah.
And Paige's in Reverent Few.
Okay. There's a couple people I need to come and see that as well. Jace, you're doing solo stuff. You have another group that you jam with?
Not really. No? Just kind of, I like getting up there by myself.
Yeah.
I love to play with myself.
Yeah. That's what I heard.
Nice.
Yeah.
Join us.
And Violet, you also play with different people, right?
Sometimes, yeah. Okay. But I'm just kind of starting to get back into that.
Just going by Instagram stuff, yeah. I see.
I took a long break from music before I got together with these guys because I just kind of got a little over... I got burnt. So, like, I took, like, 3 years off. And so now that, you know, we're doing a good thing and I'm in a positive place again musically, I'm starting to do more, like... do solo things again. It was just kind of, you know, you get burnt out,
yeah.
And sometimes you just gotta
totally. It's the grind side of it, man.
Yeah,
I think I've been on a weird hiatus for I think now like 11 years.
Yeah,
I mean, I kind of play, but I don't really like kind of make an album. Yeah, but see, every you remind me of
like
really
someone that's gone to the Super Bowl, and then now you just get to like be the announcer and like you know like.
Well, that's really mean.
No, I think that's awesome. I always thought that was so cool. They make like, you announce it's almost it. Like, where do you go after you win the Super Bowl if you're ready to retire or something? It's like you.
I'm not ready to retire. Oh my god!
You just heard it here, folks.
Johnny, you're dying already. Just
this took a dark turn.
Johnny's no longer with us, folks.
I mean, in a way, I guess it's kind of true, but it's not easy to hear that.
That came out now. I'm red. Hey, remember what a bitch Violet was?
Cody fell off the boat.
Yeah.
I just need you to come back up and do one more. Oh, join us.
Join us.
We'll destroy your soul.
Right?
No, I know what you mean. And I do appreciate, because I am in a different,
I feel like you do all sorts of cool things, like, you know, from this awesome podcast, or I see you do the panels and stuff like that, and it's like, I just feel like you're taking your knowledge and you're being helpful in other ways. Am I getting out of this hole, or am I digging out of this?
No, just I'm just realizing I should change this show to Somebody Please Hold Me. That should be the name of the show. Somebody Please Hold
Here's
Me.
Here's some shit about you that you don't know.
Well, here's what I don't like about you.
Just put a question mark at the end, like, with Johnny Gowdy?
Are you doing other music stuff?
No. I've considered starting, like, a really bad punk band where I just play shirtless. Kelly Spoon.
Oh.
She's just dropping shit.
So you were thinking about starting a punk band?
Just, like, a really bad punk band where I'm just, like, Iggy popping it, playing saxophone like David Bowie would, just, like, wonking it up, just, like...
I know why.
You know
I know
why.
Exactly why.
Why?
Because of Lord Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
I walked right up to them, right by Benjamin, who was playing bass, right up next to him, and said, "Hey, man, if this guy is ever available, get me."
That's brutal.
But you do want to play. Like, seeing you them
know,
makes you...
Yeah, like, it's something weird, you know?
I
like,
wanted to be in that band.
I've been down at Hotel Vegas a lot more often lately, and Cheer Ups, you know, like, just seeing a lot more eclectic and unique, like, bizarre kind of acts, and it's... I just really appreciate that weird, creative vibe.
Yeah. There's always a nice sort of, like... it's nice to go see a messy thing.
Yeah.
And people that are comfortable doing it. And you're like, oh, yeah, you don't have to make sure your harmonies are fucking spot on,
yeah,
like Rumors.
Just some dumb, you wild I mean? Fun sometimes,
I mean, you do, because that's the thing. And the same thing with me. Like, I want to be crazy. But then I start writing a song, and it sounds like a guy that's trying to write a Beatles song. You know what I mean? I don't really write like Joey Ramone or those
Yeah,
guys.
Right?
Yeah.
And then I have, like, this duality where I'm torn between, like, that or, like, being, like, a big band saxophonist would be, like, if I was going to do any other side shit, I would probably, like, sit in with some, like, jazz groups around town, maybe.
I was going to say, you and me take out Benjamin and Einar.
Yeah, just kick them out.
Just, yeah, start going up to Sloan and Felix and just being like, hey, those guys are terrible.
Oh, God. I'll let you shit talk Einar. I don't want to shit talk Einar.
Oh, I'm not going to tell Einar.
Oh,
no,
don't tell
him. Behind
no,
his
no.
back.
Oh, yeah, but
and
you
I'm
get,
gonna
you
get,
get
him
to pick him out specifically, nice. Yeah.
Luckily, we're not recording this at all.
Yeah.
No.
Conversation. Fuck you, Einar.
No. All right, so 2020 is a big year. Madam Radar, you came out of the thing at the Black Ball, Black Fret Ball. That I was wondering that night, like, how do you switch all that over real fast? And what a pain in the ass. And then
instantly,
I remember,
we were like, we won $20,000. And I was like, tick, 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 tick.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just have everything ready to go.
Yeah, we had Brad Bond did the logo that we displayed that day. He's I think he might be up for best graphic designer in Austin. Yeah, he's incredible.
Did
he do this one?
Yeah. I took one out of there instead of putting them both up because I have that one and I had another one.
He has such a distinctive. Yeah.
It's almost a little too tribute-y to Brad Bond in here. I love that guy.
I was looking at
him. You know, I just met him for the first time in like October, and he's been doing my stuff for like 2 years.
That's nice. Cool. Yeah, we've met him a couple of years
ago. At a Mood Media show that we did.
Yeah,
just
that's
like doing an interview with
him. Yeah, that's
and he,
what I
he
meant.
Did we this incredible poster. It was when we were at Texas KGB, and we all were like, what? This is awesome. We fell in love. So when we had the new stuff coming out, I was like, we got to reach out to him.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
He does a great job, man. He's, I've seen some other, Felix from Lord Friday the 13th. I had him make a poster for me.
Yeah, is he do good stuff?
Yeah, it's really great.
Nice.
It's crazy. I love artists. I love
me too. There's something special about poster art, though. Yeah. It's interesting form of art.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like, I don't know. You can get really weird with it, but there's also
but
a
it
way
also
of,
still has to
yeah you had to
send
say
the
something
message,
like to have like you know the message and the art together is always interesting, and I feel like Brad does a really good job of combining those two worlds.
Yeah, and he's a great guy, and he turns it over real fast too.
Yeah,
and he's real cool.
His name is even cool.
Yeah,
Brad. My name's Bond.
He's James's brother. You went into poster design instead of the spy business.
Yeah. Well, he didn't like the danger as much.
Yeah.
Right?
It's hard to be dangerous.
Like, poster presses are very dangerous, complex machines.
So are you guys going to start recording a new record? I know that's a lot to say before
No, we
your
definitely
record even
are,
comes
but
out.
It's like we'll probably focus this year on this. Maybe at the end of the year, go back into the studio, is my guess.
Okay.
Yeah, because we already have fans that are like, what are we doing now?
Yeah.
They're excited. So I'm like, let's keep this train going.
Are you
going
to hit the road around the... Because I look at your website, your one-to-ones were all on there.
Yeah,
that
they upload kind of all together. But we have a couple different tours in the works right now. We'll be headed out in May, July, and then probably again in August doing like separate runs. But for the first time, we're headed up to Connecticut and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we're excited to...
If you have any connections.
Yeah.
I think I do know some people.
Connections.
Are you guys playing... You know where I do know people is New Jersey.
Really?
Yeah, we're going to be right up by that area. I know some people in New Jersey, and I need to find how to get in touch with them.
Asbury Park is a good place. At least it was last time.
Sounds nice, yeah.
Yeah, it's nice. it's Asbury nice. Park. That's where the Jovi and the Boss are from.
Nice. Oh, really?
Both the Jovi and the Boss, yeah.
Nice.
It's a lot of people. And Southside
Johnny
is from
there.
I love Bon
Jovi until he,
Smith.
Injured his throat and then got vocal training, and then now he's like, ah, blah, and I'm just like, stop it.
You know... I freaked out because of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I didn't think they belonged in it. I was very upset. I don't know why. But it was like one day and I was hungover and didn't have anything to do. So I like watched Bon Jovi shit on YouTube for hours, like 8 hours. And I saw this documentary from like 2010 or something. You know, he smokes.
No, I did not know that.
And throughout the documentary, you see him and he goes to the limousine and you see him go like that before he gets in the limousine. Gets in the limousine and when he first says hey to everyone, smoke comes out of his mouth. And you're like, is that guy smoking? And then finally he gets so stressed out on tour that there's his like one-on-one in his hotel room and he's just like... And it was like... wow, that...
Isn't it kind of weird to see people smoke now?
That you don't...
I
smoke, but I don't expect...
I remember people smoking in the Waffle House when I was growing up.
Oh, yeah.
And now I'm like...
Oh, Jesus.
I remember the smoking section in restaurants.
Yeah.
I'd be like, there's no divider to keep us from...
Well, when I went to Austin High, there was a smoking section and a smoking break.
Holy shit.
Wow.
Yeah. From like 10:10 to 10:20 or something.
That's so crazy.
Hey, I know you guys in ninth grade, you got to have a cigarette before English class.
Right.
Yeah. It's going to be stressful. I mean, it did get sophisticated that way over around the corner.
It's the pinkies out with the cigarettes.
Well, man, I'm so happy for you guys. I really am.
Thank you for
coming on again. And look at you. You made it all the way from the far reaches of our great state of Texas.
Oh, yeah. I was at a Big Bend National Park.
You did some hiking?
Yeah. We also stayed out at this place called Tin Valley. It's... basically a bunch of old retro buses and campers from like the 40s and 50s.
Oh, that's
they
cool.
turned into like campsites.
That's
just
awesome.
Stayed out there for 3 days.
Do you guys play out there in Marfa? And the...
No, not yet.
No.
You guys need to make your way out there because that's a whole scene out there too.
Huh. There's so much of Texas.
I did mushrooms with a friend of mine out in Marfa.
Oh, yeah? How did that go? Did you see
delightful.
The lights? Delightful.
That was delightful.
Delightful.
He came back really relaxed, yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
I just can't help but think, I just saw this article recently, I'm sorry, there's this guy, like, I think he was in New Mexico, and he just recently got arrested for sexually assaulting over, like, 80 people. And what he would do is he would find UFO people, like, people that would go out to Area 51, and he would recruit that, like, basically befriend them, drug them, bring them into a van, anal probe them, and convince them that they were being abducted by aliens. He's been doing this for, like, years, and they finally caught him. Sorry, as soon as you said y'all should go play out there, and I was like, I ain't dealing with those kind of people. He would even dress like an alien, and put, like, they were on like hallucinogens, and he would like sexually assault them. I'm not kidding. I'm not making this up.
I don't mean to laugh, but just the fact that he would dress up like an alien just adds to wow.
My question is, would you ever tell anybody if that happened to you?
Is there like a 2020 or something about that?
I just saw it on Reddit and read the article. Okay. I'm sure.
Would anybody even believe you?
Well, I feel like those kind of people are the kind of people to target because they're so narcissistic that they believe that they would be the one person that the aliens would make a connection with, right?
So would you tell anybody? Would you tell everybody? Like, first we had dinner at Denny's, and then I got into a van, and then I woke up and my ass hurt.
That's aliens. What I hear being abducted by aliens is all about. They've got the anal probe.
That's just Denny's.
Right, there I was at a New Mexico Denny's.
Where were the smoking Waffle Houses? They were
Georgia.
So
Georgia. In Georgia and Atlanta, you have a Waffle House on either side of the interstate on most exits.
It's pretty serious.
Awesome. I won't lie, though. We don't eat fast food and stuff like that anymore. We haven't in years, which is a challenge when you're on the road
sometimes. That is a challenge.
But Waffle House is one of those places we'll make an exception for.
Yeah.
But a very specific one, and Cody can tell you where it is.
Oh, Meridian, Mississippi.
Best Waffle House,
yeah.
Yes. Shout out to Meridian, Mississippi.
Yeah. We
if your Waffle House sign spells Waffle House,
don't either. Yeah. You only eat there if they're missing letters, because they have to be busy enough to not give a shit about the sign being
true.
You got
good.
Some friends out there looking in your window.
Oh, yeah. I think you have another podcast
guys,
coming
on. Come on in.
So, yeah, Saturday, February 29th. Please do come hang out with us at the Scottish Rite Theater.
Yeah.
February 29th.
People can find you guys at madamradar.com. Your record comes out Friday, February 28th. That will be the Friday after this podcast comes out, and they'll be playing this Saturday, February 29th, their big album release show. Madam Radar, is there anything I'm missing?
Thank you for having us. It's a pleasure to see you. And, hey,
we started
that one song a long time ago, and we never finished. But
yeah, let's finish it. You know what? I came
Gowdy
across
Green.
That in my phone.
That's all I'm saying.
And it was good.
It was good. I remember being good. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll finish that.
Maybe she thinks you do still have some musical life left in you, John.
She's gonna help.
I'm gonna revive your career, kid.
Thank you.
Thanks, baby.
I thank you guys for doing the show.
Thanks.
Great job on the record.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Madam Radar, rebranded for a new decade, their self-titled album drops this Friday, February 28th, and they are celebrating with a very special release show, Saturday, February 29th at the Scottish Rite Theater here in Austin, Texas. Gordy Quist, producer of the self-titled album and member of the Band of Heathens, opens the show. You can find them at madamradar.com. Great conversation. I connected with Violet. Now we're buds. She wrote me on the Instagram. We're pals. All right. All those guys are great. Great musicians. Great group of people. Madam Radar. Find them at madamradar.com. Check out that single that you're hearing right there, Carolina. You can hear it on all the streaming sites, and you can hear the rest of it when I stop yapping. All right. Hey, gang, while you're out there checking out madamradar.com, don't forget that you can subscribe to this podcast wherever it is that you find your podcast, be it the antiquated iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Overcast, wherever you find them, new show every Tuesday and every Friday. You can always check out our archives by going howdidigethere.podbean.com. Look on the right-hand column. You'll see months and years. Just click on one of those, baby. You'll find at least 8 shows a month for the last 8.5 years. All right? How Did I Get Here, Baby, with our guest, Madam Radar. All right, don't forget to check out their brand new album that drops this Friday, February 28th, the single Carolina, available now. Go to madamradar.com for all of your Madam Radar needs. Have a great week, whatever it is you're doing. Let's get down.